Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us this evening. We believe tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, teacher, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Absolutely wonderful, Jim. I certainly am excited to know it's another Thursday evening where we get to have some time with our listeners to study the Bible, to hear their prayer requests, and share together. Just a wonderful experience each week. It's something we can look forward to. And the excitement of knowing that it may be happening at different times of the day, any hour of the day, through the beauty of the archive system. So we're so thankful for those who join us when we're live on the air and those who come in a little bit later. And equally exciting is the prospect that our broadcast next weekend, or rather next Thursday evening, happens to be a very special day for America. It is our Independence Day. And in fact, let me share a little piece of information right now.
Few things say American patriotism like celebrating Independence Day. Please plan to join us on July 4th as we celebrate our American independence during the broadcast. We will have something special and unique, and we're looking forward to many of you joining us at that time. When? Thursday, July 4th, of course. Listen in.
Now, to let our listeners understand better, in that little advertisement there said we're going to have something special. That's because at the time that we were having the recording made, we still didn't have it confirmed that we were going to be able to have the guest we're planning on. But I'm pleased to report that on next Thursday evening, we will have Dr. Greg Baxter, currently the pastor of Faith Journey Church in Lawton, Oklahoma, joining us. And what makes him extra special for us is that he spent just a little over 20 years in the U.S. Army as a chaplain. So he knows firsthand the challenges of our military, what they deal with, not just the individuals, but the individuals and their families. And so a very special time. In fact, the churches where he has served have been nearby bases where they experienced the opportunity as a church family and as individuals to minister to military and have them part of the church family. A very special time, I believe, it'll be for us. Jim, what are your thoughts about Independence Day and the excitement of what we'll be celebrating on that day?
Well, you know, just on a personal note, I don't think I ever shared this with you, Pastor. In the day after our bicentennial, if you'll remember, that was 1976.
Absolutely.
I joined an insurance company. It was my first day, and I now, this July 5th, the day after our bicentennial, July 5th, I will celebrate my 37th year. I'll begin my 38th year in this financial industry.
Congratulations.
Just as I got the hang of it. So July 4th, not only is it a wonderful time, and who doesn't just pause and realize how fortunate, how blessed God put us in the United States of America. So it's a touching time for me, and it's a special time for me because of my anniversary. What it just is all special to me.
It really is, and you know, I hope our listeners will be able to spend time with family. I hope perhaps they'll be able to join us that evening as we broadcast. If for some reason they can't, again, I remind them of the availability of the archive file. They'll be able to hear it even minutes after the program. But, you know, just a wonderful thing to realize for all the challenges, all the things we deal with, in America we are so greatly blessed to enjoy the freedoms that have been handed down to us. You know, people have literally given their lives. Men of character, women of character, have sacrificed so much for our nation. And God has honored that in a very special way, and I think part of the reason he could honor it so is because they put him first. And I am thankful for I admit there may not be as many, but there are still some statesmen in our government. Not all of them are sitting in the Congress. Some of them are in government agencies, but a statesman will do things for the right reason. A politician will do it to get reelected. And I'm thankful for the statesman who will stand and take a stand and consistently go against the odds and do what's right to honor God. So we honor them. We honor certainly our military who put their lives on the line, the families that make sacrifices that are unbelievable at times, are so very precious to us. And as you say, you know, there's the other types of freedom, financial independence that you're able to achieve by working hard and applying yourself. And to have that added to your anniversary time makes it extra special for you. And I think everybody, as they look back over the years and think of the different holidays, I think July 4th can be a very special time. As a nation, we should stop and give thanks and then truly enjoy the celebration. You know, our nation is very blessed in so many ways. This particular time of year, of course, is particularly warm. I think those of you living in areas where you can have fireworks can enjoy them and realize the sacrifice of what those lights and flashing in the sky are symbolic of, the rocket's red glare, so to speak. By the same token, there's excitement and a joy, a sparkle that comes in the family as they get out and have some time together. Here in our part of Houston, we probably won't be sending up any rockets like that. There's too much danger of the atmosphere catching fire from the heat. This is our time of the year to toast real comfortable around 100 degrees each day, at least the cooler days. But however you observe July 4th, our Independence Day in America, I hope you'll put God first. I hope at some point through that day, preferably the very first thing when you wake up, give him thanks for this wonderful nation that he has blessed us with and allowed us to enjoy the freedoms of. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't take this moment, Jim, to open in prayer and to set the tone of our program in the right manner, and that is to invite him in. Jim, would you begin us in prayer?
Certainly will. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts. We clear our mind, Father. We're here to hear a word from you, Father. We ask you to give Pastor Lyons a special insight and to relay the words that you'd have us hear. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to live in the freest nation in history. Lord, we know that freedom is not free. It's not just a coined phrase we talk about. We know that men and women have sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. Father, we ask you to have your hand this very moment on our folks in arms, our military, their families at home. And Father, we ask you to superintend all that occurs this evening. It's in the strong, matchless name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to take this time to invite all of you to invite someone to listen, to ask the pastor with you. And I want to give you a couple of things, a number that later we'll open the lines for you to call in and ask your questions. You would use 646-716-7765, and you can send us an email. You can go to our webpage, www.writelyons.com. That's writelyons.com. So we invite others to listen, and I think all of us will be blessed as a result. Pastor?
I thank you so much.
At Ask the Pastor, our listeners are important to us. We make time for your prayer requests on and off the air. If you have something you would like us to be praying about, please email your prayer request anytime at btr@writelyons.com. We would also love to hear your praise reports about how God answers in your life. Feel free to share your prayers and praise reports by emailing us at btr@writelyons.com. Again, that's btr@writelyons.com.
And Jim, we have received prayer requests, and we're going to take a few moments to share those with our listeners so they can join us in praying for these folks. And I've mentioned it before, but I want to reemphasize, don't feel as though you have to give us your name and address information. That's not necessary. God knows who you are, and we're happy to pray for you. you know, we have newsletters, things like that, and we want a little more information there. But we're talking about prayer. And for prayer, it's sufficient that God knows. We love you to share what you're comfortable with us. You know, a first name goes a long way sometimes just to help us focus when we pray. But even if you just want to be anonymous, we understand that, and we'll honor that. And when we pray together, it's just an extra powerful moment, because the Bible reminds us that where two or three are gathered together, that he will be there with us. So that extra strength of prayer of just knowing that we come together and do this. So, Jim, I think you and our listeners would agree that all prayers are important.
Yes.
But I think that you would also agree that sometimes there's a prayer request you hear that simply cuts deep, even when you even hear the request. I think, frankly, this is one of those requests. The request was, please pray that my mom doesn't drink today. Pray that she has the strength to move forward. Pray for my family as we struggle through this. Amen. And certainly for this individual, we'll be praying. And I think we can certainly broaden that out to people who are going through where they have a loved one, especially a mom or a dad, and they've got a drinking issue in the home. It is devastating to that home. So
yes,
we definitely will be remembering this prayer. Jim?
Well, this is an update on a prayer request. Thank you to everyone who has prayed for my sister. My sister shall be home from the hospital today. Thank you, dear God. It has been a very difficult time with many pains, and it's a hopelessness and an uncertainty and a great deal of fear. Today we hope and rest in Jesus' presence. I'm so glad.
Isn't that wonderful to hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we also want to pray for a lady who's been undergoing simply too much persecution and abuse by her family. So let's please pray for her relief, her faith, and freedom. You know, it's sad to realize that this happens within families, but it does. And when we can intervene, we intervene. When we can't, we realize that even if there's distance involved, if there's people that she doesn't feel like they can turn to, please know that God is there. So she asked for prayer that she trusts in God but sees no light at the end of the tunnel. So let's pray for her deliverance and also pray that emotionally she'll feel God's presence and support. Jim? Mm-hmm.
Well, we also want to continue to pray for Rich and Dave Cristiano. I wonder if they're listening tonight. As they're working on a movie, it's A Matter of Faith. You might want to remember that. That's going to be a great movie. They're actually filming it now. They have been filming in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we're going to pray for continued safety, continued good weather. And one of the problems I don't think they'd have here in Houston, plenty of experts to be in the movie. And we also ask the Lord's hand on the movie. Remember, they will be shooting this Saturday. Pastor?
Absolutely. That's something to look forward to, and it's exciting to realize in just basically 48 hours they're going to be on location shooting, working with a lot of extras, and creating a tool that we can use for, you know, just a wonderful evening with your family, or to use as a witnessing tool to reach others with and to be a comfort with. So to realize that our listeners have had the opportunity to be a part of this through prayer by taking this request before God, and I hope they realize that just as they're having a part in this A Matter of Faith movie, they have a part in praying for this person who worries about their parents drinking, and the celebration of someone getting the answer to prayer as someone comes home from the hospital, or a person who is facing abuse. We have a hand when we take these together before God to intervene, to take it to the one person who can truly go across miles or across the street and make a powerful difference. We choose to trust God. So let's bring those requests before God at this time, and Jim, if you will begin, I'll go ahead and wrap it up a little bit. Jim?
Our Heavenly Father, there's a common thread in these prayers, Father. It touches just about every prayer request we get. Drinking. You know, there's a reason, Father, that someone drinks to excess, and the fallout from that situation affects the children and the spouses, and it's devastating. So I ask, Father, that your hand will be on those tonight. who either have that problem or have someone they love that has that problem, Father. And continuing, you think of the next prayer request we got was someone coming home from the hospital. It's not always that way. Father, we know that you are the great physician. We know that only you can heal, and the doctors and the medical staff can treat. So, Father, those that have loved ones in the hospital this evening and are in the hospital themselves listening in or listening from the archives, Father, I pray your hand on their life. And then when it touches so many families, abuse, persecution. And, Father, I pray that light at the end of the tunnel, they say they can't see. Father, I pray that it becomes visual now, that it's Jesus Christ, that you'll work all of this to good. And, Father, we pray for the Cristiano brothers. Father, we need more of this kind of media that puts you first and shows mankind in the right kind of light, the one that you would have us be in. So, Father, all these prayer requests, Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring them to you, to bring them to you for healing and for hope and for protection. Father, we love you. Amen.
And, Father, as we continue to pray, I would ask you to watch over our nation. We are approaching our independence time, our celebration time, memory time. Lord, we're not blind to the number of times that, unlike our founding fathers, we haven't turned to you. We haven't been faithful to you. I pray to God that our churches across our nation will experience real revival, that we will humble ourselves and that we will pray and seek your face, that we'll be faithful to your word, faithful in the way we live and conduct ourselves, faithful in praying for others and praying and sharing the gospel when we have those opportunities. And sometimes that means making the opportunities, not being lazy and going about our work, but making time to go out and witness to others. So, Lord, take our nation and give us healing. I think of the report I heard today of so many soldiers that are literally, after they have fought and risked their lives for our nation, that as part of budget restraints, or of all the things to cut, they're cutting their salaries and sometimes even furloughing them. Or they've given too much for that to happen. It's just not right. So help us as a nation to be more grateful for the sacrifice of statesmen, women of integrity, and bless our nation and our churches, dear God, to be faithful to you. And give us wisdom as we share this night, dear God, as we go through your word, that we will honor you, be faithful to what you said, and not bring in opinions, but to be faithful to your words. So that's where our strength is. That's where we can grow. And all these things, dear God, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
And again, just another quick reminder that we're going to have our time of Bible study, and next week we're having a special guest with us, and so I want to reemphasize and share that information with you, and then we will begin our Bible study for this evening.
Few things say American patriotism like celebrating Independence Day. Please plan to join us on July 4th as we celebrate our American independence during the broadcast. We will have something special and unique, and we're looking forward to many of you joining us at that time. When? Thursday, July 4th, of course. Listen in.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are a little more than a teenager and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings, make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle-aged, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, today.
Pastor?
Yes.
I was just curious. When you wrote that book, you know, and you called our attention to what was going on in Daniel's time, nothing's changed, has it? Governments are still the same, aren't they?
Yes, I think the common denominator in there is, you know, the classic good news, bad news. The good news is that God uses people. The bad news is God uses people. And, yes, government will get corrupted because people, old sin nature gets involved, and it happens. But all the more reason for Christians to take a stand and allow God to work through them and use them to be faithful and to not compromise, to allow truth to be truth. It makes an incredible difference. And, yes, I do believe even one person can make that difference, because it's that one person in that one office that can change the entire tone if they put God first. You know, we've been fortunate over the past 2 weeks, now we're coming up on the third week, of going through the book of Jude, a letter, if you will. And the amazing thing is that here's a letter. It's just 25 verses long, and we're into our third week of it, because it really took 3 weeks to do justice to it. It was a situation where Jude was, you know, writing to churches, planning to visit the churches, but he caught wind, as you just described, that some things have not changed and some things are just plain wrong. And here he was coming to do some very light teaching, positive teaching, and suddenly as he looked around, he realized what was going on in their reputations and realized there were people coming into the local churches that were basically trying to take over and be power hungry and have a corrupt lifestyle and a corrupt doctrine. And he realized it can't wait. I mentioned one person can make a difference. In this case, Jude was determined to make a difference. He was going to step forward and said, folks, this is what has to happen. And he expected something to happen. He expected, had an expectation for a positive change to take place, and realized, you know, we think things are tough here today. He was writing to churches in an area and a time where not only was the high church, the ruling class church, if you will, not the little local groups of believers, but that large body, that was the dominant force working with the government, and they were corrupt and denying Christ. And here you had a government who was under Emperor Nero, probably one of the worst it's ever been. And that was the time period they were dealing with. You know, it was written around 67 A.D., which means that in about 3 years from that, you're going to see the fall of Rome. So that's the stage of where everything was, how corrupt everything was. And as he addresses them, you know, one of the last verses we talked about last week was verse 12 and 13, and he says, these are spots in your feast of charity. Now, he's talking about the people who are coming in who are so self-centered, so corrupt, tearing people down, trying to establish their own little power plays and doctrines and false doctrines of that. He says, there's spots in the Feast of Charity. So in other words, in a time when they would gather together and have a time of fellowship and food and worship and culminating in the Lord's Supper, where they would recognize and appreciate and reflect on Christ's sacrifice at the cross. So these people were like spots on your Feast of Charity. They were things that stood out that shouldn't have even been there, because they weren't a part of what you were doing. And he says, they're clouds without water, carried away by winds. In other words, they were just, you know, you could see them, but there was no content to them, no depth to them. They moved around, but had no impact, unless it was negative. Trees whose fruit had withered, without fruit, twice dead. What he meant by that is they were playing at religion. They had been given the chance at it, and they had rejected it, and then went around acting religious. So they're twice dead. They had a chance, and they perverted the chance that they had. Plucked up by the roots, they have to be removed. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Think about that, a wandering star. How can a sailor travel from point A to point B, navigating with stars that aren't consistent in their placement and shifting on them? You know, to sail, you need to know where the North Star is. You need to be able to find landmarks and celestial navigation. Spots, I love that phrase, because it's like a rock in the sea that's just under the surface, and a ship coming in, it'll appear safe, and then the ship is damaged, it runs aground. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that's what these people are to the time of love and strength and a time that should be pulling the church together. They're trying to pull it apart. Now, as we roll over to verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so he's very dramatic, he's very pointed, identifying this incident where Enoch had been involved, and he proclaims that, you know, literally, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints in judgment. This is undoubtedly looking forward to a point of prophecy, also maybe documenting a time of history. And that may seem, well, you're giving it two effects. And say, well, honestly, it does have two effects. But honestly, also, this is a very important passage for this reason. It is a passage that we don't have a lot of detail on. Oftentimes, when we read passages of Scripture, they will refer back to another incident, and you'll be able to go to another passage and get reinforcement, a better understanding. It's like you didn't get to come to an event, but there were multiple photographers at the event scattered around, and so you have the opportunity to see pictures from all the different angles and get a better understanding of what happened at the event. Well, that's what happens when we go to the Bible and use the very best commentary that's available, which is the Bible. So if you want to really study what happened, for example, with the crucifixion scene, well, we've got the four Gospels. So there's four individuals sharing a similar event. But you can also go back to Isaiah from the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 gives a very graphic depiction of the crucifixion from a prophet's viewpoint, looking ahead to what's going to happen. And the details that are in Isaiah 53 are equally as strong, if not more powerful, than what you read as you go through the Gospels. And so, again, he was seated in a different place looking at the event. He was seated back in the Old Testament looking forward to what was going to happen. So what happens here is we're given an event, and the fact that it's given once is sufficient that it happened. I have confidence in the Scripture, in other words. But by the same token, we don't have any other references talking about this event he's referring to, so we don't have a lot of detail. Now, the apocryphal books have been used at various times for some random information, supplemental information, but they're not identified and recognized as being accurate sufficiently. And so we don't rely on them as a source of information. That's one of the reasons we don't have it in our Bible. Another is it's not in the main source documents that our Bible is based on. So we recognize them as religious writings, but not as fully accurate writings. Ironically, in Jude, the passage we just read, there's a reference to it in the apocryphal books. But again, that's, whether that's coincidence or whether that's the actual same event, it's just difficult to say. So I really don't go there. It doesn't bring anything additional to the table. We actually find some references from Titus 1:12. Reemphasizing that there's been cases where, we've had other biblical people, for example, Paul, where he was a pagan poet. Well, that doesn't mean that the pagan poet is divinely inspired. It just simply means that Paul was using it as an illustration. And so all that to say is, here's a passage. I'm not going to sit here and tell you carved in stone. This is what happened with those thousands of angels. What I'm going to tell you is that it's accurate, that Enoch experienced that moment. He was the seventh in descension from Adam, and that he had prophesied that there will come a time when the Lord will come with 10,000 of his saints to bring judgment. And I think when we get into the book of Revelation, which we'll be doing in the coming weeks, we're going to see the interplay, and we're going to see the interplay where God brings a body of believers as part of his holy army and to send down judgment and establish a reign. And the irony is that with this massive army, it's not the army that has to do the fighting. It is the very word of God that brings change on the entire earth. And folks, that works today. You don't have to wait for Revelation to have the word of God, when it's given forth in purity, to experience powerful change. And so, if it's a verse that says, I don't have all the details, so I'm not going to make something up. But I will tell you that there is a promise. That was a prophecy of what would come, and as we get into the book of Revelation in the weeks ahead, we're going to see a lot of prophecies that we can see the strength and the reality of it, not because we're living in it, but because we're so close to it, I think, sometimes, you can see the foundation going into place for the fulfillment of the prophecies that you'll see in Revelation. So what's going on here, though, the bottom line is Judas is warning and cautioning the people to be very, very careful. Verse 16, for example, says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking about after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." In other words, that fancy phrase of "because of advantage" is simply saying these are people who are so impressed with people in high positions of authority that they get their eyes off God, and they're doing everything they can just to gain the attention of somebody they think is in power. They would, you know, compromise everything that they believed if they thought they could get in with a Donald Trump or a high political figure, something like that. Jim, your thoughts and comments? I mean, you're in the workforce. Do you ever see people that actually place prestige over their honor and their integrity?
I see it at City Hall when I'm down there a lot. You know, I'm a president of our little neighborhood association, and I do see it there. It's rather nauseating, actually. You see them just glad-handing and slapping each other on the back, and all they're doing is trying to gain favor, and you do see that at work. Fortunately, I don't see it as much at work as I do at City Hall. So I just think that when you see it and you can know the direction they're headed, and particularly with the way laws are being changed and rewritten, and it's very distressing, but we just have to keep reminding ourselves who's still in control and whose arm is not too short. I repeated that a couple of times to myself today when different CNN reports would come across, and I'd go, "Wow, God, I know you're still in control, but this is not going to make you happy."
That's true. That's true. But that's the right attitude about it, just to remember God's hand is not slack. It's not short. His arm is not short. You know, he will get involved. He is incredibly patient. I think that's something to be remembered. Sometimes we don't understand why, when we've asked for him to intervene, that something doesn't immediately change. We have to realize, just like when he's wanting to bless, there's people tied to the blessings. I think his patience is not so much that he wants us to go through more difficulty as much as he's trying to get somebody else's attention to turn their lives around and to stop and to yield. But I am convinced that he will not wait forever, and there will come a time where, especially when they're abusing believers, Christ, that God will intervene and say, "Enough," and he will bring judgment then. And when it's had to go too long and his saints have suffered, the price is high. So if you're listening and you're one of those people that you have been abusing someone and you have been holding somebody down and feeling a sense of power out of that, you're wrong. And God will not wait forever. You know, there's another element to this. I was surprised to come across a little article by Oliver Berkman. He's a writer with The Guardian in England, a London publication. And the interesting thing he was drawing attention to, the people who are murmurers, complainers, it takes a toll not only on that person, but takes a toll on you and me if we have to listen to it. Apparently he had come across an article, of all things, here he is writing in England, and he's quoting a publication here in the United States, that they found that spending 30 minutes with a complainer literally begins to destroy portions of the brain, peeling away neurons from the brain's hippocampus. So it's actually affecting your ability to focus, to concentrate. And I think we've all experienced those moments around a chronic complainer where we're feeling frustrated, trying to focus. Well, there's an actual reason for it. That time is taking a toll on us. So, you know, maybe he's done us a service here, that verse 16, we need to take heart and realize that murmurs and complainers going around like that, they will cause trouble. And not just in attitudes, but physical damage. They take a toll on it. So we need to guard ourselves, pardon the name of the paper there, to guard ourselves against those folks. I think it's important for believers to limit the amount of time they're around people who are extremely negative. You know, you want to reach them. You want to be able to pray with them. Sometimes you have to work with them. But I think you also have to put healthy boundaries in place and say, there's a limit to how much time I can try to reach out to this person before they're going to take a physical mental and emotional toll on me, and I have to put a healthy distance in there. Jim, do you sort of feel the same way about that when you encounter people? They're just simply draining?
I cannot believe, yes, I can believe. I can believe that God works on me all the time. You know what I read this morning? I was in Ezekiel, and the last, you know, I always read two pages, and then I push back and say, what are you trying to tell me, God? What does this mean to Jim Simmons? And here's what I read in Ezekiel, 18th chapter, verse 23, and I had in the margin, I had written another scripture that's related, and then a third one that the Bible had as a related scripture. It says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? And it, and I had in my margin 33:11 of the same book, and it says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, that's not happenstance that you said those very words earlier, that he's patient, but he has a limit. Interesting. Right. Very interesting.
I agree. And we have to take that into play. We have to realize that fact. You know, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You know, that's reality. That's what we've been talking about. That's the things we experience. You know, if you need an example, yesterday was a rather brutal news day based on the decisions that came out of our Supreme Court. And for those who might be a little worn down from that, let me begin to remind you that it is the U.S. Supreme Court. It is not the ultimate court. The ultimate court, when there's true judgment, God will be sitting on that throne. So, you know, I don't care how high you think you get, always realize that you answer to a holy God. But Supreme Court Justice Kennedy and the other four justices of the majority opinion were intolerant of views of those that disagree with them. Justice Kennedy actually labeled those who seek traditional family values rather than homosexual marriages as enemies of the human race. That was his words, which Justice Scalia strongly rebuked in his dissent. I certainly applaud Justice Scalia for taking Kennedy to task for such reckless language. Here's an excerpt of Justice Scalia's dissent. But to defend traditional marriage is not to condemn, demean, or humiliate those who would prefer other arrangements, any more than to defend the Constitution of the United States is to condemn, demean, or humiliate other constitutions. To hurl such accusations so casually demeans this institution, referring to the Supreme Court. In the majority's judgment, any resistance to its holding is beyond the pale of reasoned disagreement. To question its high-handed invalidation of presumptuously valid statute is to act in the majority for sure with the purpose to disparage, to injure, degrade, demean, humiliate our fellow human beings or fellow citizens who are not homosexual. All that simply for supporting an act that did no more than to codify an aspect of marriage that had been unquestioned in our society for most of its existence, indeed, had been unquestioned in virtually all societies for virtually all of human history. And I think when a man stands up and takes that and is willing to speak up, that's what I'm talking about, a person of character. We need more leaders such as that. And oftentimes I want to reemphasize that it can be a leadership of one. So wherever you are, don't be frustrated. Don't be defeated. We've got the admonition of Scripture that these things are going to happen, and we have to be prepared to deal with it. And the best thing you can do is hold your head high, stand for Christ, and stay in the Word. Be a godly witness. Verse 19 says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So the people who are not into the Word, not following Christ, they'll ultimately separate themselves. Certainly they've already separated themselves from the very Spirit of God. Verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jim, you know, I caught myself earlier when you said what you were reading this morning I almost jumped into the Bible. I know you well enough to know that first thing in the morning you're reading the Bible. You know, and I hope you know me that well as well.
Yeah.
Because if you start in the Word, that will give you the guidance, the wisdom, the reinforcement to deal with what's coming up through the course of the day that we yet don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying here in 20 and 21, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You're saved. Live like it. Get into the Word. Build up your strength. Pray. Allow the very Spirit of God to flow through you. This is not, you know, out of control. This is a situation very much in control because you're yielding yourself to God's Spirit to draw closer to Him. He's a teacher for us, and He will help us to understand the Word of God better. Verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Love that phrase, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are people who we have to drag out of judgment. There's people that we love them, we intercede for them, and there's people who simply, they are so desiring to love God, to be close to God, that they don't even want, you know, the specks of the dirt on them that might be sin. They want to keep themselves clean as an offering to God.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a good moment to remind our listeners that we oppose sin. We oppose legislating sin, but we love people. And I know some people mock that, don't get that, but you've got to understand that it's our heart's desire to see people saved. That's what God instills in us. That's what He drives into us. The more we get into the Word, the more we want to see lives change, the more we want people to know His love, to grow in faith. It's not the individual sins, the rebellious acts that take a person on to hell. It's the rejection of God's Son that continues a person on the path to hell, a place that God never intended for men and women. It was created for the devil and the fallen angels. And if a person goes to hell, they do it not by God taking out His wrath on him, but by them rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what they have to understand. And verse 24, 25 wraps this up. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory and exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Now, I love that passage because it's even some things that I grew up in church singing. But I'll say another thing about it. It's something that the people knew this, or should have known it. They had accepted Christ. They had been growing in their faith. But we need to remind each other where we stand in Christ. So to Jim, I would say, to him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory and exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. And Jim and I can say to all of our listeners, unto you, able to keep you from falling. In other words, you don't have to worry, is your salvation good tomorrow? It's good today, tomorrow, and forever. And Christ can present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. God is happy to do it. He wants you. He loves you. He desires you. And when you accepted His Son, He made you family. And so we tell you now to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forevermore. Amen. That's who we ask you to trust. That's who we ask you when we pray for you. To trust Him, to rely on God, because that's where the power is. That's where the strength is. That's the very reinforcement that we rely on. Jim, your closing thoughts on this passage we've just been coming through?
Well, I just was thinking, Pastor, I was looking back over my life while you were saying this, and I wonder when it was that it became easier for me to say, oh my goodness, I've got to call my pastor, or I've got to call my good friend, I'm in a tight, I've got a problem, there's something going on. And instead, I find myself now going, just closing my eyes and saying, Father, I know You're in control. What would You have me do at this time? And I wonder when it is that you can remember, when did you change and when did I change? Because I wasn't always that way. Were you?
See, I think that's the key right there. It takes time. It's a gradual change. But it's daily. You know, that's what it says, the Bible. Forgive me for using that word "it," but that's what the Bible tells us about the early Christians. And daily they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, daily they were out there doing it. And daily when we get into his word, and daily we come to him for cleansing, and daily we ask him to be involved in our lives on an ongoing basis. And what happens is, you know, there's a time when you first start off in your faith, you've just been born again.
Yeah.
You sort of look around, and there's like great big things that have to be fixed. You know you're going to heaven, but you also know you're not in the habit of reading the Bible. Maybe you have some language you need to work on. Maybe you got a temper that needs to be dealt with. Those are big things you get out there with. And then as time goes by, the more you're seeing in the Word, you start finding the little things. Maybe before you never even noticed that you didn't handle your money right, or maybe you didn't notice that you in dealing with another believer, sometimes cut them short and you were a little crisp in the way you handled the conversation.
Yeah.
But before you ever got there, there were big things God had to work on. Now you find yourself not even worrying about the big things anymore because they've been settled. Now you're getting the little details are starting to pop in. And for me, it's sort of like, I've kidded before about when it comes to woodworking, I'm really good. If you paint it flat black and keep it in a fairly darkly lit room, it looks pretty nice. Other than that, you may find it a little rough to handle, a couple scratches here and there, that kind of thing. Me and Putty can go a long way, but the bottom line is this. You know, in a dark room, it looks okay, but the closer it gets to the light, the more you see the imperfections. And the closer you and I on a daily basis get to the Word of God, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. The closer we get to him, the more he's a part of us. We see the imperfections. It doesn't look right anymore.
I like that.
The beauty is, he fixes us. He does the healing. The Spirit of God is working from the inside out, making us something that can be holy and used by God. That's the beauty of the passage. These things haven't been written to tear people down. These have been written to fix people up. God is going to give us a chance to be used. And that is a wonderful and a great blessing. We're going to transition now and give you time to digest that. But we also want to, Jim, if you'd be kind enough to remind listeners, the phone lines are open. If they have questions, we'd be happy to listen.
Absolutely. And that phone number, 646-716-7765. Or if you're calling and want to call toll-free, 866-275-4472, option 1.
And just a little piece of extra information on that toll-free number Jim just gave you. It is on the content that we include about each broadcast, something we've just recently added. And so if you're listening to this in archive, you can use that number to give us a question or a comment you have, and we'll get that in the voicemail. We'll go ahead and use it in a later program. So, if you're listening in archive, you can't use the regular call-in number, so that's why we put the second one out there for you. That will be saved in voicemail, and we can play it later in a following program. In the meantime, well, we do have a couple of questions that have come in while we wait by email that we can deal with. For example, there was a question, if I have experienced a miracle, does that mean that I'm going to heaven? And what I found interesting about that, Jim, was the fact that that's not the first time I've actually been given that question. I had a lady years ago that used the example that she had believed that when I asked her the question, are you going to heaven? Do you know? And her response was that she had been in an auto accident, went off in a ravine, survived it, and as the car was going off, she believed that she had seen the face of Jesus in the windshield. Wow. So because of that, that's what she was trusting for salvation. Now, having a miracle, what are your thoughts? Do you believe, that based on what the Bible says, that guarantees you're going to heaven?
I don't recall it ever saying that. I recall it saying that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died for you, you're going to heaven.
Absolutely.
I recall a miracle being the requirement.
As we talked about last week, too, if there was another plan, something else that could be done, then why would he send his son to the cross? If there was any other way, why would he have to go to the cross? And in fact, while we're on the subject of miracles, you know, in Luke 17, 11 through 19, we have a story of the 10 lepers. By the way, let me qualify that. I refer to it as a story. It was an event. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
One of the things I work on is trying to get the right words and a description, because if we say a story, sometimes people think it might be like a bedtime story. No, this was the real thing. It actually happened. It's in the Bible. And the Bible is very clear about something when he's been giving you just a story to illustrate, as opposed to this is what happened, this is what Jesus did, something like that. So there were 10 lepers who came to Jesus and asked for healing. They'd seen him touch others, and here's lepers, unclean, this horrible, debilitating disease, and they asked Jesus to heal them. If he were to do that, you'd have to agree that would be a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage you to get your Bible and read the story for yourself this evening. All 10 lepers were healed, but one of them, Samaritan, a person who normally would have been turned away in society, returned and gave thanks to God. Only this one had their sins forgiven, according to verse 19. The other 9 didn't even ask. They asked for and received a healing from God, but their sins had remained unforgiven. So here's an example of 10 people having a miracle, and only one got saved, and the one who got saved didn't get saved because he had a miracle. He got saved because he came back to God and sought forgiveness. So there's a very clear example of what Jim just described. No, it has to be by accepting Christ. It has to be getting the sin forgiven. So to answer your question, no, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. What means you're going to heaven is when you have expressed your faith in Jesus Christ, accepted him. Romans 10:9-10 gives that very beautifully, and I encourage you to read that tonight for yourself.
Yes.
But also realize that, you know, when we follow things, events, a miracle, you know, we were at some grand meeting, the danger of those things is we start relying strictly on the experience. And if the experience wears off and we're faced with a typical Monday morning, you know, suddenly we feel unsaved, and we have to wait for another high before we feel saved. So put God first, and even on the bad days, it's still a great day because we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jim, here's one for you. I hear a lot about angels in the Bible and from pastors. So what exactly are angels, and can we see them today? Are they all dead? Do they get saved? Should we pray to angels? What are your thoughts? Again, based on the Bible.
Well, I don't think you pray to angels. Angels are creations of God. So we pray to Jesus, who is God, it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So that's who we pray to. That's who our salvation is pinned to. So, no, I don't believe you pray to angels. Am I right?
Absolutely right. And also, again, some of the other little questions they had in there, layered in that question, can we see them today? You know, you might, but you're not aware of it. Maybe as an afterthought. There's a passage that talks about the fact that sometimes we have entertained angels, and the phrase is unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened, you know, the angel may have been involved to, God is using that angel as a support at that moment to protect you. You might use that angel as reinforcement. Sometimes the angel is there just to learn. If you think about it, you know, we've talked in the past weeks as we went through Judah, there were angels that fell when Lucifer, Satan, tried to revolt against God. And some of those angels are in prison even now. And there's others that are the demons that work with Lucifer, Satan, today. And so the question then comes for these other angels, why no plan of salvation for them? And I don't know. But what I do know is that for man, for woman, for young people, God wanted fellowship, and he wanted us to be the ones who have fellowship with him. He so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And so sometimes angels will watch to learn to see why. What is it about us that he so loved? And how do we act and appreciate and move forward having received that great love? Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. So we have a protection from angels. That's some of the things they do. They're not all dead. There's none of them that are dead. There are some in judgment right now being held. But there's also those that are active, but they're not dead. The angel of the Lord encampeth means we have divine protection at times. Now, if we operate in the flesh, this does not mean we can go down the highway, abuse the safety laws, and go into an accident and walk away. What it does mean is that God's hand will be on you when you're being faithful to him. And there's various passages that you'll find. You know, Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for, again, this is what I referred to earlier, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. They're learning from you of what this life and faith can be like. Maybe you never thought about that before, but tomorrow class can be in session as you live your life for Christ, and maybe you'll have the opportunity to allow an angel to see, I'm living my life in such a way that I want to honor God. Maybe that's one of the reasons he died for me. Something to think about, isn't it? That he would really, truly so love us. That's an amazing thing. And the other amazing thing we face each week is how quickly the time goes by.
Right.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Jim, why don't you take one of our closing minutes and share what's on your heart?
Well, I would just like to go back to a verse you mentioned because it's one of my favorites. Romans 10, the ninth verse, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the tenth verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the way to be saved.
Absolutely. And you know another great thing about that, I would remind our listeners, if you are at a moment in your life that you have been saved, but, you know, again, whether it's a demon or the devil or, you know, family sometimes turn on you and, well, you'll just get to the point where you're wondering, am I really saved? Am I going to heaven or not? And when you do, pull that verse from that Jim just mentioned, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Here's what's so important. You know, if you just do what I say to do or what Jim says to do or somebody you see on a religious program or even in church, you might wonder, well, I did that, but was he right? Say, it's a reasonable question that the devil might throw at you. But if you go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10, if I'll confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and you say, yeah, I did that, and believe in your heart that God raised him from, yeah, I did that, you know, when you do those things, now you're going back to the God's Word, and you're putting it all back, not on the experience, not on what you heard from somebody. You're going back and saying, God, this is what you said in your Word. This is what I did. So if I'm going to heaven, I'm going because I trusted you. And, I mean, that's a great place to be, in a position of totally trusting God, knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is for real. I can trust God. When we have his word, when we make our decisions based on his word, we're in a great position. We can trust God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, God doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. When he loves you, he loves you. So be confident in your faith. Be confident as we go through the word. Just like I intend to be confident that you're going to come back and join us next Thursday night as we celebrate Independence Day the right way by finding out what's the best way we can serve and love God. Loving our soldiers and their families for giving so much back to our country and being a Christian witness in every moment. So thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, audience, for being here. Join us again next week as we study together and celebrate together and give thanks to God in each and everything that we do.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.